God is good all the time. You know, sometimes I wonder if there are certain sermons that Satan really does not want to be heard. Because sometimes it seems like he's working extra hard to get them out from being out. And today seems like one of those sermons. Just for example, last night in our house, people were dropping like flies. We got a flu bug going through the house, and it's like a war zone over there. And sometimes we go through periods of life like that. We go through times when... Is this on? Can you hear me? Good. We go through periods of time where it's like, where's the reprieve, right? When am I going to get a break? When are things going to slow down? And those times can be discouraging. Those times can be frustrating. We can go through hardship. And it's those times when this answer is found. Where does your hope come from? Where do you turn when things get hard? What do you trust? Now, I'm going to give you a quick pop quiz. What is the meaning of faith? What does faith mean? What is faith? Olivia? Believing, it's what you believe. Very good. Believing in something you can't see. Yeah, that's Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things, what? Hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So then the question is, what is hope? If faith is what you hope for, what's hope? Anybody got an answer for that one? It's an expectation of something happening. Yes? Somebody else? There's a verse, Hebrews 6:19. It says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Hope is that thing that we rest upon. That thing that we trust, that thing that we believe to be true, that when we've expended all other resources, all other energy, that is what remains. That's our hope. That's our sure foundation. And so where does your hope come from? Now, all of us have different resources that we use to get through our day. All of us have different things that we need in the sense of accomplishing the tasks that have been given to us. Randy, your life would be a lot harder if you didn't have a tractor, right? But your hope isn't necessarily in the tractor, right? It's a tool that you use to accomplish what you need to get done. And if your hope was in the tractor, you would be constantly hopeless, right? Because those tractors, they break, right? They fail us. And we have to go fix them. So where does our hope come from? For the Christian, we have some different places where our hope comes from. But for somebody who doesn't believe in God, where does their hope come from? It might be in their health, right? themselves, their ability to bring to fruition that which they desire. It might be in the government, its ability to bring to fruition that which they desire. And we do put our hope in those things sometimes. Sometimes we misplace hope. Sometimes that sure, solid rock foundation that we know, hey, if it's going to happen, don't worry, I can step in and do it. And then we fail even ourselves. And then discouragement comes. Or we trust in another person, and then discouragement comes. The song Solid Rock, in the first verse, the second line there, it says, I dare not trust the sweetest frame. And I always thought of that in the sense of Proverbs talking about going after the harlot, right? Sometimes there are people out there that want to distract you from what is good and right. But it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody of bad intention, right? Sometimes we put a lot of trust, a lot of expectation, a lot of hope in other people. And when we do that, it builds stress and weight, and eventually even they can't handle that expectation. They can't handle the load that we put on them. Today, my wife is at home. I kind of wanted her to be here, to be honest with you. But she is in the war zone, in the battle, and I appreciate her. Yesterday was her birthday. We had made some plans. They all got canceled. And that's how life goes sometimes. So where does our hope come from? Well, for the Christian, the first place that our hope comes from is from Scripture. We can put our hope in Scripture because Scripture is true. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. We today are experiencing, and for some time have been, a pandemic of misinformation. We have so many perspectives that we have access to, and hardly any of them are true. But we have access to something that has always been true and always will be true. And that is God's Word. And because of that, we can put our hope in God's Word. And mostly, we can put our hope in God's Word because it reveals who God is. It reveals the nature of God. And what is that nature? Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You know, it's interesting. We live probably in the most prosperous, well, we do live in the most prosperous time in human history. We look back throughout history and we think, how in the world did those people live like that? Right? Without indoor plumbing. I mean, can you imagine them? Right? Without glasses. How much different the world would be if there were no contact lenses and no glasses? Right? A lot of us couldn't drive. Well, how different would the world be without the automobile? Right? Without electricity? Without all these different things, these modern things that we have. But something that's always been true is that God's desire for us is to have a future and a hope. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." We don't have time to unpack all of that scripture this morning. But think about this. We have these great and precious promises. Not only do we know who God is, or at least we understand more of who God is through reading the scripture, but through our understanding of scripture, we know that we can actually partake of the divine nature through experiencing the promises of God. How does that work? How can we partake of God's nature? Well, God's nature is made up of His attributes. His attributes are love, justice, mercy, kindness, grace, and so on. Now, there are attributes that we can't experience, like omnipresence, omnipotence, being eternal, right? Our human brain can't even wrap our minds around that sometimes. But if we love God, if we love others the way God desires, the Bible said that God's love dwells in us. And we get to experience God through love. And so our hope comes from Scripture because we have these precious promises. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." The Scriptures give us hope for the future. The Scriptures give us hope for the future. Psalms 119, 49 and 50 says, "Remember the word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." Isn't that a beautiful passage? A couple of verses there. Psalms 119, 49 and 50. "Remember the word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope." Has everybody ever, somebody ever told you something that you got excited about? Right? Kids, happens all the time, right? Mom and dad said, "We're going to," fill in the blank, right? Pizza Ranch for lunch? No? Mexican restaurant? Right? We get excited, right? That sounds fun. We're going on a trip to grandma's house, right? And we get excited, right? We have hope. "Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." Psalms 27, 13 and 14 says, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." A lot of life is lived in expectation, waiting for that next thing. Who are we trusting in? What is it that we are expecting? What is that cause for hope that we have? Too often, we place that in individuals. Oh, if the president would only do this. Oh, if we'd only get a better president. Oh, if we'd only get a better pastor. Oh, if we'd only get a better spouse. Right? If we could just upgrade everybody around us, all of our problems would go away. We can put our hope in God's Word because it gives us the promises of God. We put our hope, we should put our hope, number two, in eternal life. Eternal life. Temporary suffering and eternal glory. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18 says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We have a choice to make. What is it that we're setting our hope upon? Right? Maybe we go to work to earn a dollar. Hopefully more than a dollar. Inflation is going up. We better get at least $2 now. But things that are seen, right? We get excited about them, right? Maybe we're looking towards Christmas. What is that new thing that we're going to get for Christmas? And there's nothing wrong with enjoying the blessings of this life. I think part of living our Christian faith is going out and enjoying the gift of life that God has given to us. But our hope ought to be in the eternal things. The things that actually matter. The things that when you get to the end of your life and you look back, you're not going to be so concerned about that toy that you got for Christmas that lasted a few hours and then broke and then got thrown in the trash. Right? You're not going to be so concerned about that new pair of clothes. You're going to be concerned about the things like love and joy and peace, relationships, faithfulness, kindness. Those are the things that we should put our hope and energy into. And the reality is that even the struggles of this life, God says He uses to establish and to bring about those things. We cannot have perseverance of faith without our faith being tested. And so our hope is in eternal life, because it is in eternal life that the scales are balanced. That the willingness to suffer temporary patience, temporary suffering, temporary not indulging in the things that our flesh wants to indulge in, that brings about that eternal weight of glory. Because God's promises go beyond this life. Hebrews 11:13 through 16 says, talking about the hall of faith, talking about the people in the Bible who are held up of having the greatest faith of all the people who have ever lived. The greatest faith. And it says in verse 13, these all died in what? They all died in faith. What a sad verse. They didn't live happily ever after. They never got to that point. They never arrived and said, I've achieved everything in life that I had been promised I would achieve. They all died in faith, not having received the promises. And if that was the end of the verse, and if that was the end of the story, we might as well all go home. Because there's no point. But that isn't the end. It says, but having seen them afar off, they were assured of them. They didn't receive the promises here in this life, but they knew they were real. They knew they were sure of them, and they embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. And therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. You know, the reality is Ruth right now is going through a hard time, having lost her husband. I can't even imagine what that's like. But as we were talking Thursday or Friday, and talking after the funeral and many other times between then, she has that hope, right? She knows that Elroy is in a better place. And she knows that she is going to be in that place. And she is ready to go to that place. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 14 says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. We have the hope of eternal life. And it is an amazing hope. It is an awesome hope. All of those things, Scripture, eternal life, we can put our hope in those things because they are promises. They represent who God is. And ultimately, our true hope comes from God. First of all, we see that the Father gives us hope through new birth. 1 Peter 1:3-9 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. We have hope today. And hopefully your hope is alive. Hopefully you have not lost hope. And if you have hope today, it is because the Father has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Just think about that for a second. Just think about what we have. Even if we have nothing in this life, we have something wonderful, something great, something incorruptible, something undefiled, and something that does not break after 15 minutes of playing with it. It does not fade away. And it is reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, And in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it may be tested by fire. Anybody's faith been tested by fire? Yeah. Though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. And though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This life is just a testing ground for your soul. What do you really believe? Who do you trust? Where is your hope? Hope comes from God through the Son. The Son provided hope of resurrection and intercedes for us. 1 Corinthians 15:12-20 says, Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and faith is also empty. And yet we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. And then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, then we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. We have hope of the resurrection through Christ. He was the first, and we are going to be like him. And that hope is a great hope. Christ also helps us. A lot of these verses are really focused on that great hope that we know that we're going to be with God, because that is the ultimate promise of God, that though we die, yet shall we live. But as I've told this story to a few of you, Larry, the mechanic, he's got a shop there on 37. He likes to say this phrase. If you ask him how you're doing, he said, "Well, I got up this morning, and so God did his part. The rest is up to me." And I was in Mitchell helping Lars Anderson one day. We went to this senior living place, and there was a lady coming in, and I was opening up the door for her, and I was asking her, "How are you doing today?" And she said, "Well, I woke up this morning, so I'm doing pretty good." And so I told her that little story about what Larry always says, and she laughed. She thought that was pretty funny. And then she says, "Yeah, but he helps us throughout the day too." And I thought, you know, that's a really good point. He does help us throughout the day. And we have this great promise of eternal life. But we ought not to forget that our hope is also that God is still going to provide good things in this life, right? If I did not believe I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living, I would have lost heart. Hebrews 7:23-25 says, "Also there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, Christ, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood, and therefore he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." Jesus right now lives to make intercession for you. He loves you. And just as much as He is our hope for eternal life, He is our hope for every day. And then we also see that our hope is in God through the Spirit of God who empowers us. Romans 15, 12 and 13 says, "And again Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." You know, that is just an amazing verse, because sometimes we reach the end of our limits. Anybody ever reached the end of your limits? Right? And you say, "God, I don't have anything left. I can't do any more." And yet God's Spirit comes in and gives us the power and the strength to persevere, to continue. Romans 5:5 says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given to us." So as we turn our hearts towards Christmas, as we turn our hearts towards the first coming of Christ, let us also remember that He is coming again. And that no matter what happens with Joe Biden, Brandon, whatever you want to call him, whatever happens with our governor, whatever happens with this church, right? Whatever happens in your individual families, we have an anchor for our soul. And if we're willing to put it there, if we're willing to put Christ first and to recognize what we have, we will not be moved. When the storms and trials come, we have an anchor that keeps us firm and secure through all the struggles of life. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we think of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, a stiff-necked people. Lord, we like to think that we are so much better than they are. We'd like to think that we would have got the message after the second and fourth and eighth time. Lord, they were a people looking for a Savior. They were a people looking for someone who would come in Lord, that they would govern rightly, that they would treat the people well. Lord, Israel isn't much different than the rest of the world. We all want good government. We all want a happy family. We all want to be blessed by God. But Lord, you have provided. You are the great God. You've provided the way that we can be reconciled to you. Lord, that we can build our families, build our communities on a foundation that is solid. And so, Lord, as Israel looked to the coming of Christ, the Messiah, who would take away all the world's problems, Lord, we still are looking forward to that day when you will return, that you will judge the world, and Lord, that you will take us to heaven. And for eternity, Lord, there will be no more heartache, no more pain, no more suffering. Those promises that the saints saw afar off, we will experience. We will see you face to face and know the fullness of joy. But Lord, till that day, we have your grace We have your mercy. We have your promises in your word. And we are assured that no matter what happens, no matter what testing comes, no matter what trials come upon us, the loss of job, the loss of limb, the loss of health, the loss of a loved one, Lord, the things that we have which are most valuable to us are things that can't even be touched. And they are secure in heaven. And you have them for us. And so we can walk out of here this day knowing that we have everything. And that we can go through this life knowing that what is to come is so much better, so much greater. And so we can live for what truly matters in this life because we already have it. That is where hope is truly our greatest strength. We haven't yet received it, but we know it's there. So Lord, let us be confident in this. Let our faith be revealed that we have a wonderful God, a wonderful promise, and a wonderful life that He has given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.